recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
Big Daddy, if I don't fill the bill, why don't you just say so right out? And should you fail to know it, there are 14 flights a day to Reno, and I would just adore to be on any one of them.
For I'm not angry. I just wish that you would to try to be more careful.
Somebody should have wished that 5 years ago when you and I took out our papers. Oh, I knew you were old, Harmon. I just didn't know how old. You better be careful, Big Daddy, because if you ever take me to a swinging weekend in Egypt, I just may run away with a mummy.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
What can I expect?
You can expect a miracle, but you're not very likely to get it. I want you to go to bed now. Don't go to work tomorrow. I'll be here in the morning. I want to be very close to you for the next few days.
Well, when can I expect some change?
Within 6 hours. That's when the first physical change is noted. As for the mental change, none of the rats or guinea pigs have told me what the feeling was.
I'll be the first.
You'll be the first? Assuming that you survive.
Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part: you head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Flora, ground rules change now. Now you stay in your own yard. The world doesn't begin and end with Flora anymore. It isn't just Flora's wishes and Flora's temperament and Flora's capacity for anger. Now it's something else. It's very different. You have a responsibility now, and you're going to honor it. You're going to take care of Harmon. He's going to need you.
Open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. We'll be talking Twilight Zone.
My dear guests, I am Mr. Roth, your host. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
I love your song choices, Robert. Excellent song choices. Yes, thank good you. Afternoon, everyone. This is Talking Twilight Zone, and I'm your host, Lynn. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Robert and Dave. Hi, guys.
Hiya.
Hello.
And with our loyal listener, Rick Wall, and guest number six is here. Hello, guest number six. Hello, Rick. And unfortunately, once again, Bobby cannot be with us. He's still recovering from his fall, but we're hoping very, very much that he will be here for the next show in 2 weeks. Hope by then he'll be ready to come home and be with us again. So I'll ask once again for everybody to send their positive thoughts to him and keep him in your prayers, and hope he'll be with us soon. And so today we are talking about a short drink from a certain fountain, starring Patrick O'Neill and Rita Lee, and I'm going to turn it over to Robert for the opening clip.
And now, Mr. Serling.
Picture of an aging man who leads his life, as Thoreau said, in quiet desperation. Because Harmon Gordon is enslaved by a love affair with a wife 40 years his junior. Because of this, he runs when he should walk. He surrenders when simple pride dictates a stand. He pines away for the lost morning of his life when he should be enjoying the evening. In short, Mr. Harmon Gordon seeks a fountain of youth. And who's to say he won't find it? This happens to be the Twilight Zone.
40 years his junior.
Mm. Woo-hoo.
That's a thought. There's a
thought. Rocking the cradle, so to say.
Man, that is some.
No, not Robert. It depends how old you.
That's true. That's some serious age difference. Well, Bobby and our
Joe and Demi Moore.
Yep. The 16 years, and Bobby and I are 12 years apart. Yeah, that's okay. It works out sometimes. But yeah, it's short.
Woody Allen and Sung Lee.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cast of others, yes. and his other little relationships that he's had, yes. But, this is about a man named Harmon Gordon, and he's a wealthy, wealthy older man, and he's married to a younger woman, and he is exhausted by her youthful lifestyle. So in order to keep up with her, he seeks, to keep up with her pace, he asks his scientist brother to inject him with an experimental youth serum. And his brother doesn't want to do it, but he eventually very reluctantly agrees to do so. And the serum, it works wonders. Harmon's growing younger by the hour. But unfortunately, it doesn't stop when he hopes it will stop. And the regression continues until he's a toddler. And his wife decides she wants to leave him. But his clever brother forces his wife, who he absolutely despises, to stay and raise little Harmon, or else she will be cut off from his fortune, and she'll receive nothing. And he also threatens to take legal action against her and battle her to the death. So now she's stuck forever, and he reminds her that as Harmon grows older, she will be growing old. And then he predicts that when his brother does grow old enough, another woman is sure to take him away from her. And, she says, oh, this isn't fair, Raymond. This is terrible. Everything is on Harmon's side. But Raymond very sarcastically says to her, well, you see, Flora, as you get older, see how wise you get? Ah, yeah, so here we have the old May-December relationship that's starting to go downhill, because May can't keep up with December. And Harmon Gordon, he's getting old. And
other way around, December can't keep up with May.
Oh, you're right, December. Twist that around, right? December can't keep up with May, exactly. Well, somebody can't keep up with somebody here. And Harmon's getting old, and his wife Flora, she's young and she's pretty. She's a swinger. She's a little bit of a bitch. But, that's what happens many times in these types of relationships. The husband, either he has to accept it or go get a serum to make him grow younger. And
he was so old, his Social Security card was number one.
I get no respect.
Go back to sewing, Pete.
But Harmon, he chose the other option. He chose the youth serum. And how convenient that he just happens to have a scientist brother who just happens to be working on a youth serum. Wow, what a coincidence. And, of course, his brother, you know, he doesn't want to give it to him. But Harmon says he'll kill himself. If he doesn't give it to him, he'll just kill himself and end it all. And in hindsight, I would think killing himself might have been the better choice. But he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good the first couple of days. He became young and dashing again. And then the insanity began when the serum didn't stop working. And it was really insane because Harmon's brother threatened Flora by telling her that he was going to take it out of her skin if Harmon died from the serum. Well, come on. I mean, first of all, Flora was the cause of Harmon's depression, but she didn't tell him to get injected. She didn't force the brother to give it to him. And since he hated Flora so much and thought she was a self-centered creep, why would he trust her to nurture and care for the baby Harmon? She wasn't exactly the mothering type. I mean, I think anyone would agree with that. Harmon, as far as I'm concerned, he should have put his foot down with Flora and demanded some respect. I mean, he married her, and he should have had at least some idea of how things would turn out as time went on, but he became a wuss.
An introvert.
He did. I mean, you know, he let her step all over him, and basically he should have put his foot down. He knew that this was, he probably had to know that something like this could happen, but, you know, instead of feeling sorry for himself, he should have simply divorced her. Raymond should have taken some responsibility also for his role in what happened to his brother. He should have refused to administer the injection and insisted that Harmon either seek some counseling or a good divorce lawyer. I think he should have taken total responsibility for baby Harmon and not turned that over to Flora. I mean, that whole idea was crazy. I would never have trusted her.
Well, Lynn, you work for a legal company. Now, this is fraught with lots of legal things, this whole episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think at some point Flora probably would have killed off Harmon anyway if he hadn't gotten the injection. I just didn't trust her. But, you know, I mean, of course, you know, she was kind of, I don't know, I got the impression she was a very villainous beauty with a cold heart. And it was obvious that she was only out for herself. She was a gold digger. But I also think that eventually Flora would have done, if she did have to be responsible, she would have dumped the baby off at the adoption center and left the country. Here, put this kid up for adoption. I'm leaving. And she would have flown to Mexico or so. And Raymond really, like you said, Robert, legally, Raymond couldn't do anything to her.
Mm-mm, because she is his wife, so she gets half of his whatever he makes, whatever he owns, she gets half.
That's
but
right.
The thing is, you have to say, where is he? Also, he has to sign the papers. So he's too young to sign the papers.
Exactly.
What other means can you go around? You can't really declare him dead after 7 years. And also the thing is, how do you explain the baby? Because you don't have a birth certificate showing
right
who's the father and mother of the baby.
Right. And that was my last point, was going to be, if the truth came out about what Raymond did, he was going to be destroyed. I mean, you know, he would be ruined. His reputation, everything. I mean, he'd probably go to jail. So she actually had the upper hand. It wasn't like he was going to get her. She could have got him.
No, actually, he'd make millions, and he'd have all kinds of drug companies looking to license the drug.
That's an option. Yeah, that could have happened. That could have happened.
But he'd be in trouble with FDA if FDA was around during that time.
It was experimental. Right, it was experimental. Yeah. It hadn't been approved by anyone yet. And plus, you know, what happened to Harmon was not a good thing. I mean, he went all the way back from childhood, or back to childhood. So, you know, you're looking at something really not good here. I think he would have been a whole lot of trouble. But, you know, Rick makes a good point. I mean, you might have had somebody that would have said, look, I'll pay for your legal fees and everything. Just give me the formula for the serum and I'll get you out of trouble. So, no, that's also a possibility. But I gave this a one rating because I thought it was silly. I thought it was a lot of nonsense, but, you know, I thought the acting was okay, so I'm going to give it a one for that. And I'm going to read Bobby's review that he gave on the group, which I'm sure you can all predict it, you know, because he thought this latest episode was a piece of crap. and he says, suffice it to say that I agree with all my fellow reviewers. The story's long, slow, boring, and it rots your brain. Once again, Rod Serling goes back and borrows from himself and stories written by others to create this non-masterpiece. It's all agony the rest of the way, and we can only hope that somehow we can survive. And given the state of this once great series at this point, it should be renamed A Very Long Drink from a Very Dry Fountain. And he gives it, of course, a zero. But we do have some non-zeros from him coming up. We do. We do. we'll get to those. But,
and also a story coming up where you guys liked it and I disagreed. So one coming up on that one, too.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's over to you, Robert.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, well, you know, there's only one word that fits this episode. It's called retribution. And I noticed that while watching this episode that's familiar to, you know, we talked about other stories that you mentioned, too, from season four called Uncle Simon. Virtually the same in this story. Instead of taking care of a robot, the main character has to take care of a child to keep either an inheritance or a rich lifestyle. And
right.
Rod Serling wrote the stories, took a part of the ideals of Uncle Simon plot and put it in this one. Now, the thing is that she had more of, I think, of a legal leg to stand on than his niece did, to be honest about it. But
Simon's niece, yeah.
Yeah, but the photo story I'm putting on, like you said, the responsible, you know, instead of putting it on the wife, instead it should have been Raymond. And Raymond was, he did to his brother. And in the end, Raymond should have raised his brother, who is now a baby. So it comes down to, well, I'm going to raise him. You know, we'll pass it off to you, Flora, and you take care of him.
Yeah, because Flora was his wife, but she was not his mother. And that really wasn't her responsibility
right.
to do that at that point.
No,
and
she
didn't ask him to get that serum. So, you know, mm-hmm. as much of a bitch as she was, she didn't deserve to be screwed like that.
All she had to do was walk out and file a lawsuit.
Exactly.
And ask for her share, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we get the Uncle Simon plot where if the niece left, she would have not received her uncle's inheritance. I mean, the same with Flora in that if she left Harmon, she would receive nothing, which is not true in real life. By law, it should be 50-50 in a marriage. So in the end, she would have received something out of this whole mess. So.
Right.
But, yeah, that's, you know, I agree with you. This is, and also with Bobby, that these were just pieces of stories. But I think the main story was Uncle Simon is what I think he focused on, reworked it in with a short drink from a certain fountain.
Mm-hmm.
So, but... Also, this brings up a lot of...
What's your rating, by the way?
...your episodes. I gave it a 1 out of 5
yes.
for the regeneration point of the story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was of interest to me. The rest of it, not so much. So, pretty much the whole regeneration situation reminded me of Star Trek Next Generation episode from season one called Too Short a Season, where the character Admiral Mark Jameson grew younger from the serum he was given from an alien race. And with that, I'll go ahead and play that clip.
I have to ask the Admiral some questions.
Ask away! There's nothing to hide now.
Starfleet is a right to some answers.
I had planned this for a long time now. Ever since I learned that I had Iverson's disease. Since it put me in that chair.
What did you do, Mark?
There is a planet in the Cerberus system. Cerberus 2. They say the natives there have a process that rejuvenates the body, gives you your youth back.
Yes, I've heard of that story. It's a myth.
It's true, Picard. I am the living proof. Oh, it's dangerous. The mortality rate is high, and it's very painful. Every response is different depending on a being's DNA. I got enough for both of us anyway. I had to test it on myself first. I couldn't risk you. If I died while I was half a man, so what did it matter?
It would matter to me.
But I was starting to change, and it was almost undetectable, but the improvement was there. And then when this hostage situation came up, I knew I had to be at my peak to deal with it. I didn't have time to wait for the drug to work naturally.
So you took the whole dose?
I took both of them. And look at me, I'm strong, I'm alert, fit. I'm fitter than you are, Carl, and I'm getting younger.
The only question I have, Admiral, is you thought it necessary to be young to negotiate the release of the hostages, even willing to put your life at risk for it. I'll be on the bridge, Admiral, if you want to talk further.
And there was your info dump. So, basically, he took the serum to make himself younger, but the process wouldn't stop. Same thing in this episode to where he regressed clear back to a baby. Same situation in this episode of TNG. With that, there was also a Doctor Who story. Did this remind me? Oh, actually, a couple of them. Going back to the Fourth Doctor and Tom Baker, The Leisure Hive, is one about the Doctor and Romana visiting this kind of wreck where they were able to work on the nuances of making people younger, or it was more of a recreational, you know what I'm talking about, Dave, don't you?
I'm trying to think of which episode. I'm in another Leisure Hive, but you're talking about another one now.
Yeah, and it's set in the planet where it's had a nuclear war, and the Doctor and Romana visit. It's a recreational facility, and then things go on where...
That really didn't... in general, it really didn't have anything to do with de-aging and stuff like that, Robert. It had to do with disconnecting parts of your body.
Well, towards the end, it does, where it happened with Pango at the...
yeah, true.
Yeah, after they tried to clone him, and then they...
he tried to clone him.
Yeah, so yeah, at the end it does, but... in the whole thing. But the other one I'm bringing up with Doctor Who, Series 3, Episode 6, is the Lazarus experiment.
Ah, yeah.
Here's the trailer for that.
Did he say he was going to change what it means to be human?
And tonight, I'm going to perform a miracle. Something's wrong.
I am 76 years old, and I am reborn!
He hacked into his own genes and instructed them to rejuvenate.
But they're still mutating now.
Something was trying to change him.
Change him into what? This is a friend of mine.
It's lovely to meet you, Mrs. Jones.
Tish!
You people are in serious danger! You need to get out of here right now!
Keep away from my daughter.
No! Get away from her!
Well, the trailer kind of... self-explanatory. pretty much what happens to him is he tries to regenerate his cells and makes a mess of his whole DNA, and the result is a creature that he forms into in that story.
Oops.
Oops. So. And also, wouldn't you call the Doctor and his regenerations kind of a immortality, youth situation where he can sometimes be old or sometimes be young, guys?
Immortality, yes. Rejuvenation, somewhat, but I don't know. I guess because you never know what the regeneration is going to be. It could be younger, it could be older. You know, just crapshoot.
Yeah, I need that Fifth Doctor thing.
As Mike would say, you know, becoming young again is a standard trope in science fiction. I mean, even going back to She and, you know, these eternal flames, and in fact, the episode Morbius, there's the Guardians of the Flame, and they keep that because the flame is going out. So
the
while
sisterhood,
the sisterhood, yeah. So while
the
So while they're trying to affect, you know, Morbius by building a body, the sisterhood have got the flame that they won't allow him to get near to. So, I mean, it's been used in all sorts of. But again, as I said before, this is 63 when this went out. So, some of these stories are, you know, early interpretations of that theme.
And by the way, I've been listening to the Paul McGann one at work, the two Morbius stories, and quite enjoy those. You know which ones I'm talking about with Lucy Miller.
Right. I haven't actually listened to those particular shows. I've listened to quite a lot of. There's some great Eighth Doctor stories on audio. Spare
Definitely.
Parts and all sorts.
Chimes
of Midnight.
Then we go ahead and finish off 1-5, so whoever's next can step in line.
Hey, Dave.
Well, I like that. You're a rotten lot, you lot. First of all, absolutely, it was a weak end. It was a poor ending, and it was disappointing that Sterling should use, as I said before, he always has two bites of cherry. I think this time he's had three bites. And the one that you mentioned, the Uncle Simon, very derivative of that. The shame of that is that was only three episodes ago. That was season 5, episode 1-8. The episode we're talking about, season 5, episode 131, first shown on December the 13th, 1963. I agree with Lynn.
Too close
Lynn said,
together.
Yeah, they're very close
together. Yeah.
The other one I thought about was from season 3, episode 96, the trade-ins, where they were going to trade in the body, a couple, and then they found they hadn't got enough money for both of them to become young.
Yep. I like
and
that.
One of them, one of them tried to win the money with cards, so they'd have enough for two. And the card sharp let him get his money back. And so the husband went young, the idea being he would be fit enough to earn the rest of the money needed for, you know, for his wife. And, well, I won't go into that story because people may want to go and see it, but that was another one. But I thought the acting was pretty good. I mean, first of all, I know you said this lady was, a bit fruity. Well, boy, I thought it was actually quite a bravado performance that she gave. I mean,
she was good.
Yeah, but when you consider the limitations of TV at the time, you know, I mean, I think it was put very nicely by yourself, Lynn, when you said something like, the 40 gap, the husband. Couldn't keep up with her activities and certain references of that nature. She's dancing around the flat, obviously, unbelievably with energy. I mean,
provocatively,
But I was quite, I was taken by her, but the point is I didn't feel she was that bad because, in a way, when he comes in back from work the first time and she's dancing, she's got the record on, she's bored, she's had a couple of martinis or whatever, she doesn't ignore him when he comes home. She gets him up dancing. Now, if she really was a vicious person, she could have basically brought on a heart attack, the poor guy, by whatever activity they were going to do. Mm-hmm. Let's say dancing. You know, the doctor dances. I think Robert's along with me on this one. The doctor dances. So if he, you know, she had a way out of the relationship, should she have so chosen.
I like that.
So, yeah. So now, but I thought she was excellent. Now, I had a look at the actress, Ruta Lee, I think she was.
She's a beautiful woman.
Not in many, beautiful woman. Only aged 28 here. When this was done, born in 1935. She's in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, but she's in an absolute host of TV programs. Mm-hmm. She was a guest on so much science fiction theatre, Highway Patrol, Maverick, Man with a Camera, Sugarfoot, Gunsmoke, Sunset Strip, Perry Mason, The Restless Gun, Bat Masterson, The Lawless Years, Tightrope, Whirly Birds, Colt 45, Wagon Train, Rebel, Hawaii and I, Tavern to Show, Laramie, Outlaws, Cheyenne, Dick Powell Show, Andy Griffith Show, Rawhide, Bonanza.
Actress.
All those I named, she was on before Twilight Zone, and she's only 28 then. And then she's on The Fugitive, The Virginian, Burke's Law, Wild Wild West, Lucy's Show. I mean, really?
I remember the Andy Griffith Show she was in.
And apparently she was a great charity worker as well. So, and she's still alive, I believe, 79.
Yeah.
So actually, she's a bit of a tough one. But I mean, the other thing is, she sold the story for me in as much as, you know, when I think it wasn't over 2 days. Well, it was in effect, because we have the meeting, then the next day they set up, presumably, that he comes back with this syringe and the treatment, and then he tells him to go to bed. But the actual main events take place just that morning he wakes up, because his age changes very rapidly indeed. But she clocks him coming out of the room, and she's instantly, you know, the happy wife again. I'll go and change into something, you know, and I thought she didn't have any malice towards him. She was just hadn't, you know, this is the marriage that they had was not what she expected. Now, of course, we don't know whether at this point they've been married maybe 5 or 6 years, because obviously the brother-in-law's had time to dislike her. She's 28, so maybe they married when she turned 21.
Well, wasn't
so,
that
yeah, she mentioned
that
5 years
in,
with the paper.
5 years,
yeah,
right.
Flip,
so
yeah.
maybe. You know, when they first married, this bloke still had a little bit of a spark. Maybe the fact that she spends all his money on clothes and drink and that, he's working all the hours God sends, and he's then aged prematurely.
Well, she's no housewife. She can't clean up, so.
All right. Now, going to the actual actor who plays the Patrick O'Neill, I thought he did a fabulous job. Although, again, the same with the Lazarus Experiment that you talked about from Doctor Who. He says, I'm, was it 76? But the makeup they used in that, he looked about 96. Here again, this chap was only supposed to be my age, but they made him look like a, you know, man about late 70s, to me, he looked. But if she's supposed to be about 25, I know the actress is 28. Let's say she's supposed to be 25 or 6. He's only supposed to be, you know, 65 maybe. And he looked pretty punch drunk and out for that. Especially when you think that his brother was there. Oh, by the way, very strange coincidence. Only on Friday night, Rickwell was there as well. We're on a trivia show, and it was my turn to actually host the quiz. And one of the clips of the play where they had to guess the film, and I think our clever boy Rick Wall was in the room and got the answer right, was I played this clip, and we'll see if you can realise why I'm referencing this with the Twilight Zone episode we're talking about. Here we go.
And I'll keep quiet.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word. Yes, sir. Are you listening? Yes, sir. Plastics.
Go on, Rick Wall.
The Graduate, yeah, I got it.
And the actor that was speaking those lines was Walter Brook, who played the brother-in-law, the brother,
oh,
rather,
really?
The doctor, yeah. Yep, Walter Brook, American actor, best known for playing Mr. Maguire in The Graduate, where he says his famous line, plastics. And I'd only played that clip, you know, yesterday as part of a quiz that we were doing on Radio Free Camelin. So that was a smile when I saw that. Let me see what else I've got in my notes. So, actually, I mean, I really did think... I think her flirting and what's it? I was obviously taken by, as you can guess. But I thought, really, they were sailing quite close to the wind for the times. I mean, it was fairly, you know, pointed, some of the things she was saying.
I thought the acting was good. I really didn't have no problem with the acting.
I hadn't thought, Lynn, but I absolutely agree with you. In effect, she had more of a hold over the brother in as much as he'd done something unethical. First of all, as well, she was the closer relative as the wife than he was as the brother. Unless, of course, if they'd made, with all these things, if they'd made a line in dialogue earlier on where, you know, because of his increasing age, he'd made his brother his executor or something, or something to that effect. You know what I mean? Which, of course, is what happened in the Uncle Simon story. So, what do I think? I thought the acting was excellent. I thought Patrick O'Neill as the playing the older man. I mean, he's only 36 years old, the actor at the part, and he was playing somebody at least double that age there, or 30 plus years older.
It was good makeup work. Very good makeup work.
The punchline was poor. The ending, you know, it was too resolved too quickly. They spent a long time setting it up. Now, I'm not suggesting this should have been a one-hour episode at all, but I think the balance was a little bit poor in the way they put it up. But I like those sort of stories. I like time travel. I like Asian. And like Rick Wallace said, I mean, in some ways, some people would say, I don't want to just be 20 years younger. I want to start all over again, especially if you can give me a serum like that, but I remember all the stuff I've learned, you know.
And that brings up a point, Dave. Did it also, does he remember who he is, or is he reset, say?
Well, he might remember it, but he obviously wouldn't be able to verbalize it because he... There was probably a better story there to be told. It was a simplistic story. It did suffer from the fact that it was too near to the Uncle Simon story. But I like the premise of it. And when I like the premise of a story and I see good acting, that disposes me towards just relaxing and enjoying it. I can't give it a very strong, but I think I'll give it 2 for the story and an extra half for the acting. So let me give it 2.5, Lynn.
Okay. That's great. That sounds good. Okay, Rick?
I agree with Dave on the rating. The acting was not that terrible. I do sort of kind of have a bone to pick with you now that I know something about you, Lynn. I had to explain to somebody who works with lawyers about a trust fund being discretionary or not. Anyway, I'll get back to this.
You're being recorded.
I know. That's why I said it. But getting back to this episode, I liked it. Like I said, the acting wasn't that terrible. I thought it was very good. The makeup was very good. I'm wondering, I know Dick Smith, who just passed this week, who is a legendary makeup artist. I know he worked on a couple of them. Did he work on this one?
Oh, I don't know. It was excellent makeup work.
Yeah, but anywho, as for the brother getting involved and trying to get revenge and stuff, again, I got to do my famous refrain, Rod always thought of it more as a series of morality plays rather than science fiction and whatnot. And he needed a moral compass, for lack of a better word. So the brother-in-law or brother became the moral compass, I guess, again, for lack of a better word, and wanted to punish her.
Yeah, they didn't get along, did they?
Yeah, no.
So.
And again, like I said, you know, back then, morphine was, well, it wasn't, you know, it was restricted, but they used it quite a lot more often than we do now. I believe Coca-Cola still had cocaine in it at that
time. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think they did.
So, you know, and look at now, you got a lot of shady drug companies, you know, like selling out-of-date drugs to Africa and through, through Canadian drug stores to people and stuff like that. What's the line in the original RoboCop? So what if the thing doesn't work? I can still make a mint by selling it to the government. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact line, but I'm sure
you remember. That was close. Yeah.
Like I said, if some drug company got wind of it, I'm sure, like I said, also it doesn't work right. Big deal. It doesn't stop. Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like they might say, hey, all right, I'll pay all your legal fees. I'll get you out of jail. I'll do whatever has to be done. I want the formula.
Yeah.
And that's a definite, that's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm giving it a 2.5, again, for the acting. And I do kind of like the story. Is it simplistic? Yes. But was it entertaining, at least to me? Yep. So.
Yeah, I think we all agree that the acting was good. Yeah, it was definitely good acting. Okay,
yeah.
So we got a one, two ones, two and a halfs, and a zero. And
Quick, bringing up some production notes. This says the episode, because of a lawsuit followed by someone claiming they had the idea for the story first, was not included in the Twilight Zone syndication packet.
Yeah, that's true.
1984, when this and other long unseen episodes became available. A series of short introductions were shot featuring commentary from the cast and crew of the original episodes. And also, Neil commented on how accurate the show's makeup effects artist has aged him, as he's now closely resembles his older appearance in this episode. O'Neill was actually 8 years older than Lee. So.
Yeah, he was young, yeah. Yes, because what did you say? How old did you say she was, Dave? 28 when she made this?
28, yeah, 28.
So that would make him 36.
79
yeah?
Now.
Yeah. So that would make him 36, yeah, so the makeup was excellent. All right, well, we have two and a half, two ones and a zero. And that's pretty good mix there. And you know who hasn't been here for a while? Louie. I wonder what happened to him. I'm going to have to send him an email. I kind of miss him because he always had some interesting comments too. And guest number six said, most of these are morality plays. And in this one, I see this is greed does not win. And yeah, that's true. Greed does not win. Very, very true. So that takes care of this episode. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Nope.
No, I was trying to hunt up that thing for Rick, but I can't find it.
Oh, the makeup?
Who did the makeup?
No, I was looking. He was in, apparently he did makeup for a clone show that was like Twilight Zone.
Oh, really?
Every reference I found is referring to him doing makeup on a similar show at the time.
It wasn't Twilight Zone. Yeah.
I've just closed the link. Hang on.
Let me
see if I can bring it back. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I went over to IMDb and I didn't find anything there.
Yeah, I saw those production notes earlier too. Yeah, that's one of many stories that Twilight Zone episodes or stories that people have claimed they had the original idea and they tried to sue him. And nobody ever really won the lawsuits with them. As far as I know, nobody ever won one.
That always happens in TV and movies. So
yeah, everybody's playing. There's always somebody playing.
Plagiarize.
Everybody's stealing from.
Plagiarize that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harlan Williams, he's always has a, Harlan always has a lawsuit going with him on his work.
There's always somebody claiming, that was my idea. He stole it from me. I was the original creator of that. As a chair. Yeah, Rod went through hell with that. I mean, he was always getting that. Seemed like every month somebody was writing to CBS to say that he stole a story from him. But nobody ever won. So Rod prevailed. Okay, guys. Well, that looks like 2 weeks from now. We're going to be, and that will be Saturday, August 16th. And we'll be doing 90 years without slumber. Or is it slumbering? 90 years without
slumbering.
Slumbering.
Yeah.
Without slumbering. And that's starring Ed Wynn, who I actually like very much. And we've seen him in one or two other Twilight Zone episodes. Actually, in season one, he was in One for the Angels, which I liked, and I thought he did a great job in that. So he'll be in 90 Years Without Slumbering, and that'll be 2 weeks from now, August 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So I hope I see everybody there. And with that, we will say adios, have a great rest of the weekend, and hopefully Bobby will be back with us by then. So I'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
And we'll go out with Rod in the ending. So.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Mr. Serling.
Next time, a new author joins the ranks of the elves and gremlins who supply the imaginative material on the Twilight Zone. His name is Richard DeRoy, and his story is in the best tradition of the program. It stars one of the gentlest and certainly the most able of America's actors, a beloved little fixture on the American scene named Ed Wynn. Next time out on the Twilight Zone, Ed Wynn stars in 90 Years Without Slumbering.